Hi, I'm Kristen.
And I'm her little brother, William.
We're from the podcast Guide to the Unknown, where we only talk about scary stuff and have a good time doing it.
Come join the scary fun, everyone.
Wherever you get your podcasts, you'll find Guide to the Unknown.
Freddy's Nightmares on Screambox last week after it started streaming there. Good job, Bloody Disgusting, in making that happen. And that got me to thinking about what shows, maybe not so much the Nightmare on Elm Street vein or Scream that we've already seen done with it, but what one-off horror movies would you like to see turned into a show and their lore, their life expanded a little bit more? The one that really popped into my head that I would like to know a lot more about that I think's got a lot of possibilities would be Session 9. But I'm interested in hearing what you guys think might work. Thanks. And by the way, if you're listening and you haven't joined the Patreon yet, you should. It's awesome. And the extra bonus episodes are really fun. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for the call. We haven't had a call for a while, and I was starting to miss the calls, unless Elliot suddenly wants to send us an email. We'd appreciate that, too, and I'm sure our listeners would enjoy it. I'm gonna take this question.
Okay.
I'm going to start.
Okay.
Maybe because I've been watching so much Freddy's Nightmare lately, and that this question resonated with me a little bit. For some reason, I immediately started thinking found footage. Like, found footage movies would work as a good premise, like, kicking off point. And the first one, I know it's not a one-off, but I thought Grave Encounters.
I can see that.
Because, like, the concept of an abandoned mental institution where horrible things happened would be, like, rife for that. Like, if it's literally walking down Collingswood and they're like, all right, and this is patient whatever, like, you won't believe what happened to get him here. You know, really great writing, just like that.
What was the name? Do you remember there was a found footage horror show? It got canceled. I don't even know if it completed its first season, but it was like The River or Lost River or something. It has the guy from The Ruins in it. What is his name? It's like Joe something. And it's
the main guy, the med school guy?
The blonde guy that.
Okay.
Yeah, that got a bad, yes.
Yeah.
But he's in this show, and it's like going down the Amazon or something, and they're trying to find his father, I think, and all sorts of weird stuff happens. And I remember being really interested in the show and being bummed that it got canceled, which is to say, I would also be very curious to see a found footage horror TV show.
Yeah, I just feel like found footage in particular, they are so limited with what they can do with world building that and more often than not, they're going to some haunted place. They're going to some place where bad things are going to happen that is rife for potential like history and everything else. And I don't know. That's just immediately what I thought. And maybe it's also a cop out. It was like a hall with a lot of rooms. Just go in a door. I don't know. Something like that.
New episode, new ghost.
Exactly.
I think it works. Zena? I have a couple came to mind because there's so many movies that I'm just greedy and I want more of and I want them to stretch, you know? So the first one, Nightbreed. Nightbreed would be so awesome as a series.
But
like,
it's
please.
Well, it was supposed to be, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, where is it?
I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure it's not that long ago that it might have even come up on an episode. So I feel like it's like within a year old of news, which means that it's inevitably coming.
I hope so, guys. Well, I'm coming for you both.
Yeah, because that was the whole point, right? That Clive Barker wanted, if I remember it, wasn't this cool? Like, he wanted his own Star Wars universe out of it?
He definitely wanted a conversation.
And then another one, just because I love this movie, Phantasm. I feel like it would be great to see it as a series. And I guess I'll just give a last one, and I'll go with Final Destination.
That could be a good one. Thank you.
Oh yeah,
so much death. Weekly episodes, lots of dying.
It'll be great.
I mean, there've been enough Final Destinations where you could have like two seasons worth just of the deaths that have already occurred.
Let's go.
How about you, Megan?
I went with one that I'm kind of surprised that Xena did not say. Dead Silence.
I knew that you would say that one, though.
Oh. There you go.
Yeah, just
we got Horror Sisters. Psychic Bond.
Like one for each doll?
Yeah, there are so many dolls. They are neglected sitting at home waiting for Mary Shaw. So, you know, that could be like an anthology type series that would work. And then this one I feel like might be a little bit of cheating, but it amuses me because it's a movie that came from a TV show. So let's turn it back into a TV show. And that's Demon Knight.
Demon Knight.
There's so many wars and key masters and demons that I just, you know, I want to see more of that. Give me more Geraldine, more her battles.
Please.
Well, for sure. Like the just having to defend the key through time, and every season it could be like Doctor Who. You're just handing it off to the next one or something like that.
Yeah,
sure.
Exactly.
Did we read something in the news about Tales from, weren't they trying to reboot it, or they were thinking about rebooting it?
Not to my knowledge. Yeah, I know that there was Tales from the Crypt attempts at reboots, but the rights for that are so completely...
Oh, that's what I'm talking about, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Not Demon Knight specifically.
No, not Demon Knight,
show,
just Tales
from
the Crypt, yeah.
Yeah. That's never going to happen.
Like, the rights are just completely tied up and
I think
messy.
M. Night Shyamalan had tried to revive that a few years ago, but immediately hit, like, red tape, and yeah.
It's such a bummer about old horror properties that either legalities, like a studio is not willing to give up the right, even though they're not going to do anything with it.
Right.
Like, we don't want it, but we don't want you to have it either. Like, that's such a bummer.
It could be the tiniest thing that'll hold it up, too.
It makes me wonder how many horror movies are out there that we've never seen or never will see.
Right.
Because something like that happened. Like, they filmed it. And they just put it in a vault.
There's that. There's movies that are stuck on VHS because they never got to make the leap over to DVD or Blu-ray or whatever. Yeah, there's tons.
I mean, Freddy's Nightmare has given us all hope.
There you go.
There's still possibilities. Speaking of having hope, welcome to the Bloody Disgusting Podcast. Everyone, the podcast where we discuss all the disgusting things we love in the horror world. And to discuss the disgusting, you know her as lead movie critic for Bloody Disgusting, horror movie fanatic and journalist Megan Navarro. Hey, Megan.
Hi.
And you know her from her YouTube channel and website Real Queen of Horror and her infinite love for the genre, Xena Dixon. Hey, Xena.
Hello.
And I'm John. If you're listening to this on a Wednesday when the episode drops, we hope your week's been filled with all the best kinds of horror. And if not, we're going to do our quick round the table for the movies, books, games, or anything else in horror that are making the three of us smile right now. Maybe there'll be things that'll make you smile too. So, Xena, what's been filling your heart this week?
I needed a comfort watch the previous week, so I rewatched The Fourth Floor from 1999 on Tubi. So a woman inherits a rent control apartment and is terrorized by a neighbor. So I first watched this movie after seeing it for years, you know, in the video store. But for some reason, I just didn't watch it. And I would always remember the cover. But I watched it like a couple of years ago and fell deeply, madly in love with it. I feel like everything is perfect about it. I love the pacing. I love the storyline. I love Juliette Lewis. There are so many awesome actors in this movie. So basically, there's this woman named Jane, and she takes over her late aunt's apartment in New York City for only $400 a month. $400, okay?
Yeah, that's a red flag right there.
But the reason why is because her aunt, she snuck her on the lease, and the landlord didn't know. There are ways, you know? I have an aunt that actually did that with her son, and he literally only pays like $350 a month. He's living it up. Okay.
Oh my
and I'm
goodness.
Very jealous.
That's amazing.
It is. Very jealous.
Allegedly, for anyone with
religious
nature.
Allegedly.
But no, it's actually not a haunted, like, supernatural type of thing, though I thought that it was. It really is just a neighbor that is just terrible, that is horrible, like, completely making her life hell. Like, this mysterious person basically gave her rules. He or she left something out, you know, right outside her door, a list of rules saying how you cannot have people over after 10 p.m. Your boyfriend can't sleep over, no shoes. And between the hours of 7 p.m. and 9 p.m., you can do this, but after that, you can't. most people would just ignore it, right? And that's exactly what she did. And then she gets punished for it. And there's a lot of weird people who live in the building. So it's like, it could be anyone, you know? And for some reason, even though she does try to confront this person, because it's the person on the fourth floor, she's on the fifth floor, the person never answers the door, you know, at all. And people know of this neighbor and they say, oh, the person is a hermit. So they never come out, you know. Really cool. Again, like, things just turn like really psychotic. And I'll just say there's something that really freaked me out that involves bugs and mice.
No.
Yeah. So I'll just leave it right there. Yeah. So it kind of reminded me of Polanski's The Tenant from the 70s in some ways. You know, it is a thriller, but then at the same time, there are some creepy scenes that's in there. And again, it just really does have like a great atmosphere. If you're looking for something that's really easy to watch, very straightforward, I recommend checking it out. Plus, her lifestyle is pretty cool. You know, she's an interior designer who has like a pretty successful business. Her boyfriend is the weatherman, okay? And he just bought a house in Westchester. I'm from Westchester, guys, and Westchester's fancy. So I just love the fact that they mention it in this movie. So that was the first movie I rewatched. I'm not going to lie, like the week before, I probably watched the movie twice. I just can't get enough of it. I think it's great. Yeah.
I'm laughing at how... I feel like we just started to uncover something. That her boyfriend's the weatherman, and that seemed to be not too bad for you.
It's pretty cool, you know, because when he's walking around, people recognize him, you know, and they're like, oh, you're the weather guy. And he's like, he is. So, you know, yeah, it's a really cool thing. And you get to see their relationship. He really wants her to move in with him, you know, but she wants to be independent because she's an independent woman.
And give up that low rent.
Right? No.
That's a tough sell.
Nope. Anyway, next movie I watched The Vagrant from 1992 on Tubi. A businessman buys a house, but he has a hard time trying to get rid of its previous tenant, a dirty bum. I did not write this. It was IMDb. And
yeah, we all know how I've struggled with that in the past. And will today, too.
So I haven't watched this one in a while, but this movie really made me laugh. It stars Bill Paxton. He plays this guy named Graham Krakowski. That's his name, you know? So this movie just really makes fun of itself. There is this homeless man that just terrorized his whole entire life. I guess I had a theme going on, huh?
You did.
You know? But yeah, this homeless man, like, he is pretty gross looking, you know? There's something really weird going on with his eyes and his face and like his hands. Like, it's gross. Anyway, he doesn't want to leave the house that Graham bought, and like, he has books in there, he washes his hands in the sink, he eats his food. Somehow, no matter how many locks, no matter how many alarms he has, he always finds a way into Graham's house, you know, no matter what, and nobody believes him. So there was this one scene that really made me laugh, where basically Graham was walking home from the grocery store. He sees across the street from his house, there's like an empty lot, and the homeless man, he was just there eating some kind of meat. I don't know if it was like a squirrel. We don't know. He was just really chowing down. And Graham just cannot take his eyes off of him. So he's like watching him holding his groceries. The homeless guy noticed that he sees him, so then he looks, and then Graham drops his groceries, and he's trying to pick it up, but he can't pick everything up in time, so he just leaves literally half his groceries on the floor. He runs home to call the police to tell them that he saw a homeless guy staring at him. It's just like, okay, what can they do? You know, it's funny, but then... The serious part is then there are some kills in the neighborhood. And so, you know, people don't know who it is, but Graham knows that the homeless guy has something to do with it. But then the homeless guy pins it all on him. Like, so it's funny. He just terrorizes him from the start. And then also the director, he actually did the special effects for like Piranhas, Gremlins, The Fly, Arachnophobia. It's really cool to see him, you know, in the directing chair. So yeah, it is a very black comedy, silly movie. So please do not go into it thinking that, you know, it's serious stuff, because it is not.
It's got Bill Paxton in it. I feel like you pretty much expect comedy from him for the most part. So yeah.
It's hilarious. So that's what I watched.
Hilarious.
It's hilarious.
I technically watched this last week, but per Zena's request, I'm talking about it this week. No Exit. This dropped on Hulu on Friday, and this also has a slightly erroneous description on IMDb. During a blizzard and stranded at an isolated highway rest stop in the mountains, a woman fleeing from rehab to visit her mother, she discovers a kidnapped child hidden in the car belonging to one of the people inside. This has her listed as a college student. She is not a college student.
Yeah.
Or she might have been prior to rehab, but she's literally she's in,
at some point she attended college.
She might have, who knows? The movie's more concerned with her breaking rehab to go visit her dying mother in the hospital, but the blizzard waylays her. And it's I thought I was going to get into like a paranoid thriller because she's stranded by this blizzard at this rest stop with four other people, and she happens to go outside and notice the girl in the back of a van and realizes mm-hmm. one of them is the kidnapper. So I thought it was going to really lean into the paranoia, but it doesn't. It plays it more straightforward. The jig is up kind of early on as to who it is, and then it's just kind of cat and mouse of, you know, trying to figure out how she's going to survive the night, who she should tell, if she should tell anybody. It gets really mean and pretty intense. I think that the ending does get slightly a little tidy in how it wraps up, but it's a pleasant surprise, and they wrung a lot of tension out of that. And I loved the lead lady who has some very intense and violent moments. I feel like I don't know why they kind of dumped this on Hulu like they did. Mm-hmm. But watch it. It's good.
Yeah, I watched it because of you.
And did you like it?
I enjoyed it. I did. What? And I could not guess who.
Yeah, I did.
So, yeah.
But it's pretty intense.
Yeah, I was clicking around Hulu, which isn't particularly common for me. And that was like the first thing that popped up is like, as recommended.
Ah.
And I definitely was thinking that it was going to be more psychological, like paranoia.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm in that headspace right now.
Yeah.
So it's good to know.
Yeah, it's not really, which is fine because I feel like they could have made it work, but I like that they didn't go that route. They just went more like, let's go intense and suspenseful. Really good cast, too. It's got the progressive insurance guy. And,
that is him.
And Dale Dickey, who's always great.
Wait, the guy who plays Mayhem?
No. He's got
the president from 24? No, that's Allstate.
He has this awesome voice.
Yeah, the really low voice. And
yeah, the president from 24.
I haven't watched 24.
Yeah.
Oh, I really haven't either, but I feel like anytime they like talk about like the Allstate guy or whatever, they refer to, like, I hear him referred to as the president from 24. I can't think of a bunch of other movies he's been in.
The more you know. And one of the things that I frequently do is pull up the horror apps or just regular streaming apps that have like a TV, you know, where you don't have to really choose. It's like pull up Shudder TV or Pluto TV or a Bloody Disgusting TV, and that way I don't have to really think about what I'm going to watch. It's just what's on. And so I did that. That's my long-winded way of saying I did that, and I was very shocked that on the 80s Rewind channel, they were playing The Keep. So,
oh my God.
Yeah, this is a 1980s.
I've seen his eyes just roll up.
Because it's so hard to find that
exactly,
movie.
Exactly, which is why I was completely shocked that it was on Pluto TV just playing, and it is on demand, so if you, you know, weren't at the right time and the right channel, you can pull it up on demand and watch it anytime you want, at least until the rights expire and they no longer have it. So get on that, is what I'm saying. So yeah, this is a Michael Mann-directed movie that he's all but disowned, which is strike one for this being a very hard to find watch and why it's not on Blu-ray or DVD or whatever. And Tangerine Dream's a very impeccable, amazing score, the rights for that are also tricky, which is to say that this is a very hard to track down movie. Again, emphasizing that you should jump on it. It's also a very weird movie. It's based on a novel. Nazis are forced to turn to a Jewish historian for help in battling an ancient demon they have inadvertently freed from its prison. It is set in the 40s. This place looks like a crazy fortress, and it just gets very fantasy-like. It's fantasy horror, and it's got this golem, Molossar, and an ancient force of good who sleeps with the Jewish historian's daughter, and it's like vampirism and creatures and Nazis, and it's so weird and so mesmerizing. It's like, you know, of course, Tangerine Dream's score has a lot to do with that kind of dreamy quality, but yeah, it's very unique, it's different, and it's hard to find, so it's very cool that it's at least temporarily on Pluto TV.
Nice. And I was wandering around Hulu and decided to watch 1999's Lake Placid because... Ooh. Why not? I don't think I've watched it since like 2000 or so. I figured I'd give it another shot. Three people attempt to stop a gigantic crocodile who's terrorizing residents in Black Lake, Maine. This is such a 90s horror movie. Like, if someone were to say, what's a 90s horror movie like? I'd say it's like Lake Placid or Anaconda. Like, it's like you, it's a cast of celebrities, more or less varying degrees of popularity, but many very recognizable in one way or another, like depending on where they are in their careers, and very interesting characters, usually caricatures of real people, and pretty silly dialogue, and a big animal.
And Betty White. Like that.
And Betty White. Who I think everyone can agree is the best, is one of, if not the best parts of the movie. And I just watching it, and I've completed the Paxton Pullman combo, thankfully, this week. And it's so weird. Bridget Fonda, the way they shoehorn how to get Bridget Fonda there, like, we're going to have a female lead, but she's got to be broken up with at the start of this movie to get her out there, as opposed to, how about they just ask her to go out there? Like, she can just be single, can't she? And it's not like she's necessarily looking for a love interest the whole time.
But it's going to happen.
But it's going to happen. And then Oliver Platt is so bizarre in this movie. The one thing that I've very much remembered about this movie is how he dances. And it is the strange, like, I am not a good dancer. I am terrible. As a matter of fact, I won't dance at all. And I still think I'm a better dancer than Oliver Platt because his move is this strange arm crossing thing with the woman who's standing. You have to watch it on Hulu. If you haven't seen Lake Placid, just watch it for the dance. It's got to be a GIF somewhere, or GIF, or however you pronounce it. But it is so weird. Like, I'm like hypnotized by it when I watch it. Like, I'm not paying attention to what's happening in the scene. I'm just watching like his hands crossing in and out in front of this woman who's in front of him, who seems like this is totally normal. Like, this is a normal dance move. This guy's just cutting a rug.
But I just love that you said that you're hypnotized by it. So
I am hypnotized. It is bizarre and fascinating. Like, that was an acting choice. That amazes me. That's an interesting world. And then, yeah, and Betty White makes an appearance as a not super profane, but she's got one really good line that I think people would most recognize her for. It's 90s campiness. It's pretty formulaic. Surprisingly low body count in a movie that features a giant crocodile, in which you think everyone's gonna die in this, aren't they? And it's like pretty much no one. like two people whose names you don't know.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, spoilers, but it's, I know there's a few lines that just crack me up. Like, I have the strange feeling that everything's gonna be okay. Like, why would anybody say that in the moment that line yeah. is said? Like, That doesn't even make sense in a horror movie.
Yeah.
So, but there's, oh man, the 90s must have been a wild time in Hollywood. But it's bizarre and funny and cheesy and just pure campiness. And if that's what you're in the mood for, Lake Placid on Hulu is going to treat you right. Because it's the polar opposite of the other movie I watched, 2021's Antlers on HBO. Not any of the things I just said. In an isolated Oregon town, a middle school teacher and her sheriff brother become embroiled with her enigmatic student, whose dark secrets lead to terrifying encounters with an ancestral creature. I remember so much hype for this because there was pushback and the trailer was amazing. It isn't... why can't I think of his name? Hellboy, Shape of Water.
You talking about Doug Jones or
no, the director.
Oh, Guillermo del Toro.
I kept wanting to say Benicio del Toro,
but very different.
I just watched Sicario. Very different. I thought wasn't he involved somehow? Did he produce it?
He's a producer.
Or the creature effects? Okay, and that might have been part of it, like the whole thing about like. Big name as a producer, and all of a sudden people think it's like Jordan Peele produced. It's like, oh, Jordan Peele's Candyman.
Yeah, it's not.
No, it's not what it is. And I just remember, and you know, I really like Jesse Plemons and like the whole cast, Graham Greene. I'll watch anything Graham Greene's in. And I totally understand what I think is the most common criticism of this, of it doesn't quite know what it is.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of combining two genres that can work together. It has to be delicately done.
It's almost like it could read as doesn't know what it is, but there's also a lot of it that's almost like he's afraid for it to be a horror movie.
Kinda, yeah. What I was thinking of, and now I automatically can't remember the name of the movie. It was the movie about the drug addicts and the Seven Gates ritual that I watched a few months ago, and unfortunately, like the co-main. Like died of an overdose like before the premiere.
Oh, yeah.
Like the fact that it was basically a movie about addiction, and then within it there was this urban legend creepypasta.
Yeah.
But it was really about addiction. And that's kind of what I felt like Antlers is like. Antlers was trying to be
a serious
more
drama.
Of a character study, yeah. Serious drama. Yeah. But went pretty far the other way into horror. Like with as big as the creature effects ended up being.
Yeah, but like, for me, I feel like they withhold that for so long.
They do, and then they go big.
Yeah, they do go big.
So I think that's what's causing the disconnect. If it was more subtle, if it was like more shadowy, more stuff you just didn't see, more implication of what's going on versus like actual, like when you start to see these transformations and things like that happening, I think that's what's causing the disparity in people's minds.
Not balanced well.
Exactly. Because it does deal with some very heavy topics within the movie itself, but it doesn't really get a chance to like dig into them,
mm-hmm.
because it's also ostensibly a horror movie that's digging into Native American lore, which I recently found out that you're not even supposed to like talk about Wendigos. Like Native Americans, like they're like that's
taboo.
I did a story about a Wendigo, and I had someone reach out to me and said, don't do that. Like, what do you mean? And I guess like you're not supposed to say it, you're not supposed to talk about it. Like it's depending, I think it's for Algonquins, it's like, no, don't do that. Like, don't use this as like your thing. But yeah, like I'm conflicted because I do really like it, but I did feel that disconnect, almost like an uncanny valley.
Yeah,
is the best way I can describe it. Like watching the Beowulf or Polar Express stop or motion capture and being like, why do I feel weird watching this? Like there's just this little, it's not quite the thing that I think it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
But I do really love some of the creature effects, and I do really love some of the characterizations and the cinematography, and they're great performances. It just felt like
it's not
just like,
meshing. Yeah, I definitely wanted quite... more of the creature stuff from the third act.
Same.
Yeah, either I wanted more creature stuff or less. Yeah. But the amount that we got, I think, caused that rift between, well, what is this? Like, they could have pulled back a ton more, given us shadows, given, because there's also plenty of parts where you don't really see the creature during some significant parts.
Yeah.
So they could have just kept with that
because
and not gone the full way.
It's not, it's like there's a progression to it. It doesn't go from this to this. There's a progression. Mm. And all of that, like you're saying, is not really on screen. So we go from dour, somber character study, focusing on heavy themes, to bam, action horror.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it goes like aggressively action horror in the third act.
I'm wondering, though, too, just because of, you know, how it ended, if we'll get like a sequel. I mean, I don't know.
Wonder if that was the intention or if they were just doing the thing that movies like to do and leave it with the potential to be a sequel, without intention.
I would feel that, because it's also thematically tied to, you know, cycles of abuse and addiction and whatnot. So I feel like that's probably more of a thematic thing that just plays into horror conventions. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not sure, this probably would have had a bigger audience had it not been for that severe delay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because of the pandemic.
Oh, sure. And being released during COVID, basically when theaters weren't really open.
And
right?
A lot of movies that got waylaid for so long, I think, we had teasers. And by the time it finally comes out after those years of teasers, you're like, okay.
Yeah.
So I don't know if the audience is there to warrant, or the numbers, I should say, is there to warrant a sequel. You never know, though. You never know. But I kind of feel like this was a one and done based on, you know, what the messaging is of this movie.
True.
I think so, too. And Keri Russell's fantastic in it, too. I think, it's just... And I do like it. I like the setting for horror movies. I like the concept of this isn't a good place. Like, this is a hard place to be, a hard place to live. A teacher trying to make any connection whatsoever with kids who, like, you know, have, you know, meth cooking or meth addicted parents, etc. My only hard qualm, and maybe this is just my naivete, is I don't know why meth cooks would use flares. That seems like a poor choice.
I thought that had something to do with the cave situation.
The mining.
I think one of them has a flashlight. I just feel like lighting a flare around a bunch of meth, I don't know that that's smart.
I think that this movie has a lot
cooks.
Of kind of issues that are disjointed.
My theory is they like the flare effect.
The red imagery is always great in horror.
Oh, absolutely, because you only get those shadows cast of what's going on. You don't really quite get the idea. But it's like, all right. Don't know a lot about meth, so that's just, sorry. I'll try harder.
You study up on meth, you report back next week.
Oh, college is long past. Okay. What do we watch and how do we watch it?
I checked out The Fourth Floor on Tubi and The Vagrant on Tubi as well.
I watched No Exit on Hulu and The Keep on Pluto TV.
And I watched Lake Placid on Hulu and Antlers on HBO. And to clarify, I did like Antlers. It was more just, I had to kind of talk my way through it with some people.
That's
just
fair.
Because of a feeling.
Yeah.
It is a recommend for me. I think people should check it out. All right, enough about what we've been watching this week. It's time for Megan to bring us up to speed on the news and trending topics in the world of horror. So what's going on, Megan?
Video game adaptations are all of the rage, and Twisted Metal is the latest video games coming to life, this time on the small screen. Peacock has officially ordered the live-action project to series. The television series is currently in the works from Sony Pictures Television and PlayStation Productions, being described as a comedic half-hour live-action adaptation. I think that that's an inspired choice to turn this, like, vehicular brawler with a satanic clown thing into a comedy. Even better news, the original take for the live-action series comedy, or live-action series, comes courtesy of Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, the duo behind Zombieland and the Deadpool movies. Anthony Mackie stars as John Doe, a smart-ass milkman who talks as fast as he drives. With no memory of his past, John gets a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to make his wish of finding community come true, but only if he can survive the onslaught of savage vehicular combat. Mackie will also executive produce the upcoming series. So, yeah, I think that that is very interesting. Michael Jonathan Smith, who's behind Cobra Kai, is on board to write and showrun the Twisted Metal series. And Will Arnett will executive produce as well. So,
interesting.
Yeah, when you take this, you know, Twisted Metal isn't necessarily a horror video game. It just kind of dabbles in the horror arena. But I think it's funny when you're like, we're going to mix it up and do an unexpected genre choice here. So, yeah. And news that's specifically for me, because I'm obsessed with the Haunted Mansion. We already know that a new Haunted Mansion movie is in the works over at Disney. But what I didn't expect is that they're going to release it in theaters next March, March 10, 2023. I kind of expected that Disney would put this straight on Disney Plus, but they're not. So, yeah, Justin Simien, behind Bad Hair and Dear White People, is directing the new live-action adaptation of the popular long-running Disney theme park that's home to 999 haunts. The known ensemble cast includes Lakeith Stanfield, Tiffany Haddish, Owen Wilson, Rosario Dawson, and Danny DeVito. The Dark Ride attraction, which launched in 1969 and is still going strong at the Disney parks, sees theme park guests go through a spooky and creepy manner with all sorts of supernatural frights, quote-unquote frights, because it's Disney. And the film follows a mother and her son who come across a mansion that is more than it seems while being orbited by various characters key to undressing the spooky mystery. DeVito will play a smug professor, which definitely sounds like a DeVito-type role. And in more kind of comedic horror news, What We Do in the Shadows' fourth season is coming soon. It's been 4 months since What We Do in the Shadows wrapped up its third season. So the good news is that FX had already ordered up a season four before season three even finished, but season four has already been filmed. Co-creator Jemaine Clement tweeted a response to a fan question this week, or I guess last week, that season four of What We Do in the Shadows has been shot and it's on its way very soon. No word yet on what We Do in the Shadows season four will premiere, but obviously, it's probably coming this fall is my guess. And also in TV news, Don Mancini took to Twitter also to reveal that season two of Chucky will air sometime this year. Probably around October, though he didn't specify. It's just this really cool art of Chucky 2 2022. So yeah, two horror comedy TV series, new seasons coming soon.
I have so much What We Do in the Shadows to catch up on.
It is such a fun show.
I think
show.
I already watched season one.
I can't think of the Super Bowl anymore without this show, because it's the superb owl.
Oh, the superb owl. I saw that.
Yeah. That's so awesome. And then Scream finally slashed its way onto digital as by the time this episode airs. So it's dropped.
Oh, finally.
Yeah. Drops Tuesday. And it will be loaded with special features. So to celebrate, Bloody Disgusting is hosting an official Twitter watch party this Thursday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, with Radio Silence. That is the two directors and executive producer, Chad Vieja. So if you don't know how to participate, just queue up your rental or your purchase of Scream and hit play right at the start time and follow along and tag your tweets with hashtag Scream Watch Party to join the fun. And I can tell you, because also by the time that this episode drops, Scream will be out, and so will my spoiler-heavy piece of deep cuts. I talked to the director, I talked to Radio Silence, period, about some major deep cuts, and that doesn't even cover, they have pages and pages and pages of Easter eggs, so you can expect that they will be bringing all sorts of good behind-the-scenes and intel on Thursday. So, yeah.
Nice.
Well, I won't be on Twitter, but I'm fairly certain I will rent it this weekend or next weekend or some other time. I just couldn't make it to the theaters for this one, but I am looking forward to it. I'm very glad it doesn't take very long to get to digital these days.
Yeah.
All right, listeners, your turn. Are you going to be on Twitter but not watch Scream just to, like, show me that, you know, you can and make me feel bad for not writing down something smarter right now? Do you really like video game movies? That's the best I could come up with. Let's hear about it. Number is 224-475-1040. The number is also in the show notes, or feel free to email us at bedisgustingpodcast@gmail.com. Finally, Xena is going to make all our lives easier in the sea of horror movie options and clue us in what's appearing soon that we should be watching. So, Xena, what should we be watching?
Bloody Disgusting TV, or Screambox, is available for you to check out. So that's like the first thing. And of course, Scream will be available
of
digital.
Course.
The first.
And Twitter.
Oh my gosh.
No, don't watch Twitter.
Don't watch Twitter. Yeah, don't watch Twitter.
Don't watch Twitter. You don't need that.
Except for a watch party. There you go.
Yeah.
But happy March, by the way, because it's the last day of February. Gosh, this whole month just blew by.
Oh, for as long as January was. Yeah, February was gone in a blink.
Jeez. Okay, so also coming our way on Tuesday, the 1st, Demonic. It'll be available on DVD. So this one is a horror sci-fi, and it follows a young woman who unleashes a terrifying demon. And there's, like, supernatural forces that's in it. I recommend checking out this movie. I'll just leave it at that. Sometimes with some synopsises, I feel like they give a little bit too much, you know, when it comes to certain movies.
Who's the director of this one?
Neil Blomkamp?
I have no idea.
This was the Neil Blomkamp. Okay.
Thank you, Megan. So then,
is that right?
Yeah,
I think it is.
Neil Blomkamp
We spoke about it a couple of months ago when it was available on VOD, but it also did have a couple of delays.
Oh, okay.
As well.
'Cause I'm like, I feel like it should have been out on DVD already, right? Okay.
Yeah. There was a couple of delays with that.
Okay.
So then we also have another supernatural horror, and it's called Suicide Forest Village, and it'll be available on VOD. So this one is inspired by the real forest in Japan, where people commit. Okay, you know.
Aoka Gagari Forest, yes.
Yes, thank you.
Look at him dropping the name.
Oh, John, I'm fancy.
Look
now.
At John knowing things.
You know
sometimes.
Stuff and things. I'm so proud of you.
What a weird thing for John to know.
No,
he
it's
won't
great.
Learn about no meth and flaring, but he will learn about some suicide forests.
True.
I mean, I'm glad. Like... So, and then also.
Thanks, Xena.
Also coming our way on the 1st, we have the British horror thriller Beneath the Surface. It'll be available on VOD plus DVD. After surviving a shark attack in which her father and sister died. See what I mean? These synopsis! Lexi's life becomes a living nightmare. You know what? I'm going to stop reading the stuff. Okay. Then also coming out on Thursday the 3rd, we have The Scary 61st. It'll be coming to Shudder. And this one is definitely not for everyone. It is very wild. It's about these two roommates who they find this apartment that seems a little bit too good to be true. So, because it has like this really dark secret.
$400 rent control?
I wish. I would still move in and then rent it out to people. Get some moolah.
Yeah.
Okay, and then we have on Friday the 4th, Fresh. It'll be coming to Hulu. The horrors of modern dating are seen through the eyes of a young woman who's battling to survive her boyfriend's unusual appetite. Ooh.
I watched Love is Blind Season 2. I've already seen the horrors of dating.
You know what? I was actually going to watch that, but I got so exhausted when, you know how Netflix plays that little clip or something?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy called this woman by the wrong name. I was like, oh, no.
Uh-huh. Yeah. My wife told me about that one. I caught like every other episode, and even that was a lot for me.
And then this one is not so new, but I want to start like recommending some other movies for people just in case if you haven't seen it. But there is this French erotic horror. It's called Trouble Every Day. It's on Shudder. And I recommend that with this one, do not read the synopsis. Do not watch a trailer. Just watch it.
Do not pass go.
Just just watch it. Exactly. And it's like, I guess I'll just say this. It's about these a couple that goes on a honeymoon to Paris.
That's it. That's all you get.
That's it. That's all you get. It's a very strong experience for them. And then just in case if you missed it, Studio 666, it is available in theaters. The Foo Fighters are making a killer album. And it's only in theaters right now.
Did you watch that this weekend, John?
I didn't get a chance. Oh, you're not talking to me because I'm not special.
He talked about so much his wife loving Foo Fighters. Yeah, no, so.
I'm sure we'll do a VOD on that one.
But Zeta did not either.
No, I didn't. I wanted to. I was going to go, but I don't know. People are back at the theaters, and the theater that's near me, people do not wear masks. So
Be safe. Yeah. Be safe.
Be safe.
And that's the Bloody Disgusting podcast for this week, everyone. If you'd like to read more from Megan, you can check out her reviews at bloodydisgusting.com and on Twitter at HauntedMeg. Zena can be found on her own website, realqueenofhorror.com, and the YouTube channel of the same name, or at LovelyZena on Twitter. And you can hear me on my weekly horror narration podcast, Creepy. Don't forget to hit subscribe on your favorite podcast app, and feel free to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at BeDisgustingPod, or drop us an email at BeDisgustingPodcast@gmail.com. And for even more content and rewards, check us out on patreon.com/BeDisgustingPod. So for this week, I'm John.
I'm not John. I'm Megan.
I'm not Megan. I'm Zena.
That was perfect. Grab some popcorn, cozy up on the couch, and watch something you love. Just make sure it's something bloody.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.
Every town has its dark history. Hometown Ghost Stories is a paranormal podcast that goes town to town all across the globe, exploring the world's most haunted places, tapping into the dusty archives and the darkest corners to bring you the most terrifying stories of real people and their harrowing experiences. Hometown Ghost Stories dives into the history of haunted locations and investigates why and how these places earned their terrifying reputation. Rob, Dave, and Jesse go live every Tuesday night after an uninterrupted documentary-style breakdown on the case, followed by an open discussion with live viewers. Subscribe today to listen to Hometown Ghost Stories on your preferred podcast platform, or watch the video version on YouTube and now Spotify. Head on over to the Bloody FM Podcast Network and check out Hometown Ghost Stories, if you're brave enough.